Now, it is 40 years since the People's Republic of China and Australia established diplomatic relations all the way back in 1972. Since then, the relationship has blossomed in a variety of mutually beneficial ways, including in terms of trade and cross-cultural ties. Now, to mark this significant anniversary, the Australian Embassy here in China has put together a 40th anniversary program to reflect the breadth of this relationship. So, to discuss this program and the cultural ties which bind these two nations together, we welcome now to the studio the Australian Embassy's cultural counsellor, Michael Grauder. Very good afternoon to you, Michael. And Amanda Barry, the Embassy's cultural relations officer. A very good afternoon to you both. How are we doing today?
Well, thank you.
Well, good to thank you.
Excellent, excellent. Now, China is currently Australia's number one trade partner and export destination. And in the news all the time, we're hearing about how trade has increased between the two nations, not just with Australia and China, but other Western nations as well, between China as well. But beyond trade, what about cultural connections? How is that growing and how is that increased over the years?
It's a great question, Alex. I mean, you're right. There's lots you can say about the trade relationship or other parts of the relationship, like defence or science or those sorts of things. But culture is one of those areas that we certainly focus on a lot. We know it's important to China and it's important to Australia both that we understand a lot more about each other in those ways. And I think one of the big events in the last couple of years that we've seen is we had reciprocal years of culture in China and in Australia of our two countries. And at the embassy, I know we've noticed as a result of that, through over 200 events in those years in China, we saw a real boost to cultural engagement and cultural collaboration between China and Australia. And I think, you know, Amanda might be able to talk more about some of the particular things we did, but it's a vital area for us because it's culture in the end is where we begin to understand each other a little more. You can trade all you want and you can invest all you want and that sort of thing, but when people are getting together, knowing each other, knowing more about each other's culture and that sort of thing, it's something we think's really important.
Mm-hmm. So are you going to bringing some artists from Australia to have exhibitions here in China? I know that some of them have already done that before.
They have indeed, and there's been sort of, I guess it's we don't just do it because of the 40th anniversary. That thing goes on all the time. And I guess the other point to notice is that there's a whole lot of activity going on that the embassy isn't involved in. The embassy doesn't organise, the embassy doesn't look after in any way, because for us, culture is something about people-to-people links. It's not the government doesn't have to have its fingers in every pie, as it were. And so we're very happy for people to go on doing these things privately. That said, there's certainly a lot of areas where we're involved in, whether it's opening an exhibition, the ambassador goes out to open exhibitions quite regularly, or there's some big tours coming up later this year for photography exhibitions. We can talk about those a bit later on, but certainly there's plenty going on. A lot of those have been badged as 40th anniversary sort of events.
So what have been the real highlights? Because we're now in September, believe it or not. The year seems to have just flown by. This is the 40th anniversary year. What are the highlights already with just, I guess, a few months to go until the end of this anniversary year?
Well, what I'll do is I'll name a couple, and I know Amanda can talk a bit about one of those in particular.
Fantastic.
Two of the big ones we've done at the start of this year were the 5th Australian Writers Week in China, and also we had our second Australia-China Film Industry Forum. Mm. Now, Amanda's the person who organises the Writers' Week, so I might ask her to talk a little more about what went on in that.
Sure. Mm. I mean, we're quite lucky in a way that our 40th anniversary actually falls in December, so we still have a few months to kind of ramp up the programme before the yes. They were thinking ahead in 1972, thinking about us. But certainly the Writers' Week was a very significant event in our calendar, and it's just like what Michael was saying about building people-to-people links and ties. We've been running that Writers' Week since 2008, and every year we bring a delegation of authors and Australian publishers to China, and they do all kinds of events here at bookshops, libraries, universities, and other venues. And particularly in recent years, we've tried really hard to incorporate Chinese language events, so we're using interpreters with the authors, so we're really getting the Australian literary voice out to the Chinese people. And so it's really a special event that we do every year.
And of course, this is not just Beijing. Beijing that we're talking about as well. I mean, everybody kind of thinks as Beijing as the heart of China, and it may well be so. But this is something that you've been doing all over the country as well, not just in Beijing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to take the Writers' Week as an example, apart from Beijing, we also had events in Shanghai, in Chengdu, and in Hefei, in Anhui province. And we really actually try to focus on taking our Australian cultural programs out to those regional cities. Michael mentioned the Year of Australian Culture before, which was in 2010. And that program involved events in over 30 different Chinese cities. So they went everywhere. Some of them went out by hard sleeper to the far-flung corners of the country. And we find that the response in those areas is also extraordinary because those cities are not maybe as internationalized as Beijing. So people are very, very excited to meet Australians and learn about Australian culture in those other cities too.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And you're talking about learning about the two different cultures. And of course, when you're talking about culture, education must be having a key part in how this bridge is formed. Now, in 1998, there were 9,000 Chinese studios in Australia, but by 2010, that jumping to 167,000, if my statistics are correct, and that's an incredible leap. So education must be a really, really important way in order to be able to not only bridge the kind of cultural gap that may be apparent between Australia and China, but also grow that cultural knowledge, if you will.
You're spot on, Alex. And it's for us, I mean, I was recently talking to a university in Liaoning province and giving a sort of a talk just about Australia-China relations and that sort of thing. And a lot of these students are at what's called the Australia-Asia Business College at Liaoning University. And they've graduated about 5,000 students, I think, over the last decade. 2,000 of them have gone to a particular university in Melbourne. And when we talk to them about that sort of thing, because, you know, me as a diplomat, I come here for 3 years and I live here and I learn about China and that sort of thing. But these people go and they live in the same way they live and they study and they experience in Australia that a tourist doesn't or a business person doesn't and that sort of thing. And so when they come back, they're a little bit of an ambassador for Australia as well when they come back. Because if you're a Chinese person, who are you going to ask about your experience of Australia? It's going to be another Chinese person. Usually you can ask me or Amanda and we can give you a particular perspective, but you'd love to hear from another Chinese person about their experience of Australia because they'll have the reference points and those sorts of things that matter to you. So education, along with tourism and migration, I guess, are these three great flows we've got going between our two countries that are quite extraordinary and give us that chance for those cultural links and those people-to-people links to be built.
Mm-hmm. So do you have special programs to promote these education programs, you know, to encourage more people to study in Australia?
Oh, there certainly are. And our Trade Commission, the Australian Trade Commission, is in charge of the promotion of Australian education, but that's done in collaboration with Australian universities and TAFEs and private colleges and that sort of thing. They're all engaged in this. And I mean, China is an important source of students for us. But again, it's not about those numbers. It's not about those dollars. It's about the relationships and the experience and the living that we get from each other that's much more important in the end. But yes, there's a lot of promotion. And I mean, we sort of have a bit of a university season, if you will, twice a year where a lot of Australian universities and TAFEs come to China to promote their wares, to encourage Chinese to come study and that sort of thing. So that's an ongoing process all the time. And, you know, it's been very successful. Australia is one of those places that Chinese students look to go to.
Now, how do you think, you kind of touched a little bit earlier about how important culture is in terms of bridging it, but how important is it in terms of education of the two countries? And it's not just education generally, but also about kind of Australians really knowing about the variety and the diversity of China and vice versa, China knowing about the diversity of Australia. And I think that from someone now myself who comes from the UK and has now had the luxury of being in China and also travelled around Australia, me kind of thinking, well, do you know what? The one thing that actually the two nations have in common is massive diversity. So with that in mind, how important is that in terms of knowledge? How important is culture, I should say, to expanding the knowledge of each of the countries?
Very much. I mean, I'll have a go, and I'm sure Amanda's got some thoughts on this too, but, you know, a film is an example where we can look at those things. We recently showed, I said I was up in Shenyang in Liaoning, and we showed some what's called Tropfest short films. We have this short film festival in Australia that's now the biggest in the world. And we showed this series of short films to this group of Liaoning students and officials and that sort of thing. And it was, I think there were about seven or eight films in this group, and they were this fantastically diverse group of things. And when we came out, the discussions that were going on about what the Chinese people had seen of Australia, suburban Australia, outback Australia, multicultural Australia, all those sorts of things, the diversity you talked about, Alex, was reflected in film, and it's reflected in books, and it's reflected in art, and it's reflected in all those sorts of things. And so culture, in a way that few other things can, maybe tourism and education are the only others that give people the experience of all those different things, because someone goes and stays in Australia and they travel and they see those things, but they see a film about Australia and they learn about the diversity of it. Amanda, did you?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And I think that, I mean, from my experience having put on these cultural events in China, culture opens hearts and minds, and that's how you can make a really genuine connection with people. I mean, people might see a little bit about Australia on the news or a little bit about China on the news, but you don't always get a fuller picture. Perhaps another example is that last year we had a touring exhibition of Australian Indigenous art from a very remote area of Western Australia, come all the way to China, to Beijing, to Shanghai, but also to other cities like Wuhan and Xi'an and Dongguan in the south. And most of the people going to those exhibitions were, you know, ordinary everyday Chinese people who'd never seen this kind of art before, and including children. And they were really inspired. They could see the stories, and Indigenous artwork is very much about storytelling. They could see the stories and the experiences of people from a very remote area of Australia, thousands of kilometres away, but they could build that connection through the art. And that's just one of the great things about managing a cultural program like this, is that you can really build those connections and, as you say, educate and build that understanding of each other's culture.
And that must be so pleasantly surprising for the embassy to kind of witness examples like that. It's like, wow, you know what? I never expected this, but how fantastic it is to see these two nations experiencing each other's cultures in such a way, in such a diverse way as well.
Absolutely, because government doesn't always suggest great creativity and experimentation. But I mean, we're very lucky, as Michael said too, that we have really dedicated groups of Australians and Chinese people working away very much themselves on building these cultural links. We're not always the spearhead of what's going on here in China, and it's exciting to see, perhaps through government help at an early stage, groups getting together and making projects for themselves and building those links themselves and making it sustainable.
So you have got the actual anniversary day supposedly coming up in December, even though you've had a whole year of events. What's coming up over the course of the 3-4 months? Those people who have missed the writings events and all the things and the art events that are going on, they're hearing this program now, they're thinking, I want to get involved, how do I learn more over the next 3 months?
Sure, well, I'll just mention a couple of things quickly. We have a tour by the Sydney Symphony Orchestra. So that's the orchestra that inhabits, if you will, for the most part of the year, the Sydney Opera House in Australia, that most iconic of buildings. And so they're coming up in October. We also are looking forward to what we hope will be a photography exhibition of contemporary photographers at the National Art Museum of China, also in the November to December sort of period. Now, this will have a bit of a historical perspective. It'll mainly be about contemporary photographs. One of the interesting parts is we're hoping in there will be some photographs of the visit by Gough Whitlam, our Prime Minister at the time that diplomatic relations were established. He then visited in 1973, and so they're looking at trying to get some historical photos of that to give that real flavour of the 40th anniversary. There's also, just as another example of something else that's, you know, broadly in the cultural sphere, there's an Australia-China youth dialogue happening in October as well. Again, this is a non-government initiative. Government's sort of involved in, there might be speakers and that sort of thing there, but this is Australian and Chinese youth getting together to say, let's chat, let's talk about our relationship, let's talk about our cultures and our societies and that sort of thing. Amanda might want to give you a little more detail on the Symphony Orchestra tour, though, just so people have got an idea about that.
Yeah, sure. So the Sydney Symphony Orchestra, as Michael mentioned, is coming to China in the second half of October. And they're not just coming to Beijing. They're touring to, I think, 5 cities in total across China.
And they're going to be busy.
They're going to be very busy. And they've also, you know, as an example of the ongoing cultural exchange, they've signed a cooperative agreement down in Guangzhou, so they will be, Sydney Symphony Orchestra will be returning to China regularly from now on to work with players from the Guangzhou Opera House and also from a conservatory down in Guangzhou. So this is sort of our favourite kind of cultural program. It's not just a performance for one night, but it's an ongoing collaboration and a relationship.
And when you speak of ongoing collaboration, of course, that kind of leads me, in a way, to know, we're running out of time, sadly. I feel like I could talk for a very long time. But the last question, I suppose, is the ultimate question, is 40 years of diplomatic ties now, what's in store for the next 40 years? How is it going to grow? How is it going to expand? And is it going to be any different in terms of cultural ties in 40 years' time than it is now?
Our ambassador was talking about this to a group of people last night, and she said, you know, she first had experience of China about 25 years ago when she was posted to Hong Kong and learning Mandarin there and that, and she said that set her baseline, but, you know, if she'd been asked then what China would look like in 25 years' time, she couldn't have forecast it. You know, we could all write it down and put it in an envelope and try and pick it up later. So I guess, in a way, we can't predict that sort of thing, Alex, but that's also really exciting because we just don't quite know where this will go. In the cultural sphere itself, you know, if you look at what's happened over the last 40 years, from essentially no contact to this flourishing idea where Australia is very much part of this region, we have tours of symphony orchestras who are now saying they're going to have a bit of a base in China, their Asian base will be in China and that sort of thing. And you have artists who are coming here all the time, and you have performers who are coming here all the time. And that said, Chinese going to Australia as well. And, you know, we're talking to festival directors who are saying they might have China as a theme in 2013 or 2014 and all those sorts of things. Those links are all coming up like that. So that's just a small bit. I can't actually imagine, and I wouldn't dare predict where it might go, but having seen what's happened in the last 40 years, you'd think it's a very positive thing you're looking at over that time.
Do I have time for a last
question? Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, fire away.
Yes. I know that both of you are quite new, you know, in this position, and new to China. So I would like to know about your idea, about your experience so far. How do you see the cultural life here in Beijing, in China, in general? You are new, but definitely you have your comparison.
Yeah, I mean, I've you only have to go to somewhere like 798 or Songjiang to get a feeling of the dynamism that goes on in the Chinese art scene and that sort of thing. There are differences for sure, and that's accepted. But there's also so much vibrancy about the place in arts and that sort of thing, particularly, you know, the visual arts, the performing arts, those sort of areas where we're having connections with people. And it's really exciting. It's also rather daunting. It's so large. It's so complex and that sort of thing, that to stay on top of it and to try and understand what might be doing, where we might engage with it and that sort of thing, is a really big job. But that also makes it exciting because we have such a chance to do these sorts of things. I don't know, Amanda,
I completely agree, and I think the growth of the cultural sector, if you like, in China over the last 20, even over the last 10 years, has really been phenomenal. I mean, 10 years ago, you had very few, for example, international orchestras coming through China, and now there's maybe 50 a year or more. China is very much on the world cultural map now, and that's not going to change, and I think China realizes that too, so it's a very exciting time.
Absolutely.
For everyone.
Exciting times lying ahead. Thank you very much, Cultural Councillor Michael Grauder and Cultural Relations Officer Amanda Barry. It's been a pleasure talking to you over the course of this afternoon from the Australian Embassy, of course. Thank you very much, and we'll hope that all the best for the next coming few months. It's that Sydney Orchestra. That's the one I want to go and see. I saw them in Sydney Opera House, and I definitely want to see them here in Beijing. Thank you very much, guys. It's been
pleasure.
An absolute
Thank
pleasure.
Thank you.